No. Luke chapter 7. I've been doing that since yesterday with this message. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Can I tell y'all a story from the road? From the road of revival? Can I tell y'all a story? I'm going to anyway. You might as well said yes. Monday night, let's start back. The pastor of that church called me Saturday or Sunday and said, "Are you ready?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ready, you know." And he said, "Good." He said, "We're praying all Saturday night for revival. We're going to have somebody on the altar all through the night. And you want to come in here?" I said, "Well, God will honor that way more than he'll honor what I'm going to do, all right?" But then I said, but Monday, I'm going to preach a message that when I preach it, I've seen people saved every time. I'm not saying that God will save somebody every time. I'm just saying God put it on my heart, and it's a gospel message. Here's what I call it. It's the best lure I got in my box. Amen? And it is. It's the best lure I got. And when God allows me to fish with it, I'm confident, right? Well, I told him, I said, if you know anybody that needs to be there, that needs to be saved, have them there Monday. Well, he said, would you come and talk to my youth on Monday? Yeah, I'd love to. So I talked to their youth for about an hour, then I preached to them for about an hour. Well, on the way up, during that day, Monday morning, start about 7 o'clock in the morning, I started praying and getting ready for that meeting that night, and God put the number 5 on my mind, number 5. And when he first said it, I said, "Grace!" You know, because that's what I always see. When I see number 5, I see the grace. That's all I see. But then I said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to pray that you're going to save 5 souls. I'm going to be bold about it. God saved 5. Then I kind of felt bad. I was like, "Well, Lord, what if you say I'm going to save 15? But I said, "I'll say, Lord, I'm going to say 5. Well, I texted a pastor friend of mine who had shared a story with me, and I said, "Lord, hey, listen, will you pray about 5 souls? Remember that story you told me about that amazing how God worked in that revival? Hey, I'm thinking God's going to say 5, and I wrote on it, and the number of grace. Will you pray that 5 souls get saved?" He's, "Yeah." And I did, "Grace." He's, "Yeah, I'm praying with you," right? Well, all week, I pray all day, number 5, grace, 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 5, grace, just back and forth. Told my wife, "Hey, I believe that God's in this. I want to see 5 souls saved now. I believe God's going to save 5 people in there." Well, we get down there, and God's already working. I was talking to the youth group. God was working, going there and preach. There was a man in the youth group. He's about 38 years old. He's not in the youth. He's working with the youth. But anyway, he was standing there, and there's several adults there, and the adult man looks at me, and he goes, "You get them tonight, preach. You get them." I'm like, all right, you know. And I'm really not like that until I get in the pulpit all excited and stuff. So I'm kind of like, you know, just hanging out. And he goes, "Get him tonight." He goes, "I got a daughter. Get her." I'm like, "I just don't get people, man. I mean, that's not." But he said, "That word you gave him last night about dating, hey, get him." I'm like, "Okay, man, I'll do what I can, you know." Well, when the dust settled, he got saved. Amen. But anyway, we had a meeting, and God was moving. The altars filled up, and I was just waiting. "God, Lord, 5 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Right? Well, the altar cleared out, and there was a guy in the corner praying and praying and praying and praying, and eventually he got up, and he said, "God, save me." That was that man. And I was like, "All right, Lord." And then the pastor said, "Did anybody else get saved tonight?" And I was sitting there going, "Come on, let's just run them off," right? No. And I'm like, "How about that number of grace, God? You're making me look kind of foolish here." I didn't really care if I looked foolish, but I was just, you know, had faith. I was wanting to see that 5. Well, I got my car. Well, and I'll tell you this, Saturday too, when I was talking to him, I said, I've seen people get saved in the parking lots, on the road, and stuff like that. Well, I'm driving on the way home. He texts me, "Hey, man, guess what happened in the parking lot?" I said, "What?" 2 more people got saved. So I sent him a text back. "Great! I can't wait to hear about number 5. I ain't even told him I've been praying about 5. And I said, "The number of grace," right? So I go into the house and I'm waiting. "All right, Lord, come on with it." You know what I mean? Well, it didn't happen. Well, the next day, a lady texts me, said, "Hey, guess what?" No, that's not even Wednesday. Days run together. Texts me, said, "There's a little girl. She's texting me back and forth at school and wants to know if she wants to be saved." And she said, "She's going to be at the revival tonight." And I said, I text her back, "Don't tell her to wait till the revival. Tell her to get saved now. If you can get to us, because she might not make it to the revival. I mean, anything can happen." Well, anyway, the here we are, last night of the revival. And I'm sitting there going, all right, Lord, I got three. And you said, I'm thinking five. And I'm reminding him, grace, Lord, grace. Well, all of a sudden, we have at the end of the last night, here comes that girl. She comes up on the altar, and she gets up, and she looks me dead in the eye, and she says, I'm saved. I got it. I've been wrestling around this for months, and I'm saved. I'm like, praise God. And then the altars was full, and I was thinking, oh, here we go. There's going to be one more. There's a little boy over there praying in the corner. I mean, he was weeping before God. And I roll over on there. I'm like, hey, brother, are you asking Jesus in you? Are you getting saved? He said, no, I'm saved. I'm just wanting a little more fire in my life. You can't be mad at that. But I'm hunting number five. And I'm standing there, and it goes all the way out, and all the choir comes up, and they start singing Amazing Grace to leave. And I'm like, all right, God, maybe that's it. And all of a sudden, everything settles down. And the little girl and her youth leader comes up to the pulpit, and she says, are you saved? And she says, yes. And she goes, great. And she goes, do you want to say anything, Grace? I said, what? The little girl's name was Grace. The last one that got saved, the one who said she'd been struggling with it for a long time, her name was Grace. God wasn't looking for a number five. He is looking for, never mind. I thought y'all would have a duck fit when I told you. Ain't God good, though? I mean, I'm standing there, and as soon as she said, she turns and looks at her and goes, Grace, you got anything to say? I went, what? I mean, God's that's how good God is. He's better than we think. Don't ever be afraid to, if He puts something on your heart, don't be afraid to say, you know what, I'm gonna believe God for that, because it will absolutely work out to the great. Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Y'all ready? And it came to pass, by the day after, that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So there was a big crowd going with Jesus. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and that they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, that, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. Amen. I want y'all to see this morning. Jesus, he healed people. He healed people, changed their lives of their infirmity for two reasons. One, to show himself God. When Jesus was on the face of this planet, he worked miracles and wonders, some of the most amazing miracles and wonders, to absolutely show that he was God. The number two reason he'd done this was to show a spiritual connection to a physical problem. Amen? I want you to understand this. A spiritual connection to a physical problem. I hate to tell you this, but everybody in this room has been spiritually dead or is spiritually dead in your life. Every person in here has been spiritually dead. That means if you're not born again, you're spiritually dead. If you've been born again, you were spiritually dead. God only knew you by who you were in your flesh. What you loved more than Him. When you study the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he called Lazarus by his name and rich man by what he loved. Amen? He loved money more than he loved God. Some of you have things that you love more than God. That's what God knows you by. But once you get saved, He knows you by your name. Aren't you glad that He knows you by your name? I'm glad God loves us enough to sometimes stop the funeral. Amen? Stop the death. We're all spiritually dead and on our way to an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. But God is upset. Not one time, not two times, not three times, multiple times, thank God. Even for the worst of the worst sinners, even for the person that you gave up on, God never gives up on. God never says, you know what, they've went too far and done too much. Matter of fact, He said, I died for just such a person on the cross. I died on the cross for the person who stole a 5-cent pack of chewing gum and the person who molested and killed children. No amens there, but it's absolutely true. And if it's not true, we're all in trouble. Amen? We're all in trouble. Because Jesus died for every sin. He nailed every sin, every ordinance, everything that was against us. He took it and nailed it to the cross. My God. If you don't ever get excited about this stuff anymore, well, you might as well check and see, is my word wet, Lord? Have I got to the place with you that, you know what, I just can't be stirred up anymore? If you're in that case, you probably need to start praying a little more and saying, God, why can I sit through services of worship and preaching and praising and just sit? Woo! I'm sorry, but I came out of revival. I ain't going to tap my fire out just because we came back to regular church. Amen? I'll just stay in revival mode. I love time. Jesus is not a time God. Jesus is never not on time. Even when He's too early for you or too late for you. Some of y'all have already made up your mind, she ain't never going to get saved. He ain't never going to get saved. He ain't never going to straighten up. That's your thinking. That's not God's thinking. That's not the way God operates. That's not even the way God operates at all. Matter of fact, sometimes God, I won't say this, most of the time, God, what God does is He waits till we're all through. I mean, until we've done everything we can do. When we've got, man, I've prayed, I've talked, I've walked, I've shared, I've told, I've paid them, I've unpaid them, I've kicked them out, I've let them, praise God, I've done it all, and guess what? Well, I'm done, God, I can't do no more. God says, finally, good. Amen? And I hate to tell you, some of you, hey man, you're the last one that's got their hand on it, and you're sitting there going, God can't. God's saying, I can if you'll let me. Amen? He's like, I don't want the wheel, I want the whole car. Amen? And let him move in and let him do it. Amen? God's right on time. Do y'all see this, how it's going down? Jesus is life. Jesus is the life. And here Jesus is walking up to a funeral. Life and death intersects. Life and death intersection. I mean, they come to two stop signs in the middle of a four-way stop, and guess what? Jesus in life is stopping here, and death is on the other side. There's a funeral going on, and it's on the march, and God, the light of the world, is coming directly head on with it. That's how God meets me and you. That's how God met me and you. One day, life walked into our death. One day, God ran into our funeral. Amen? Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. A funeral is not a place where you go and have a service and are buried. You are living out your funeral today. All your funeral is a story of your life. Amen? When you die, guess what? The story you told is what people know, no matter what the person behind this desk says. Whew, never mind. And God's right on time. God's right on time. They're carrying this boy. It's too late for him. Amen? God don't think so. God don't think so. There's some spiritual dead people, man, and they're in some low places. And I mean, time is running out on them. Maybe time is running out on them for you. But God says, I wish y'all would help me preach. I'm about to intersect them. I'm about to intersect their life where you couldn't intersect. I'll intersect at the hospital. My God, never. I'll intersect at the hospital. I'll meet them down there when they can't hardly make a move. Amen. I'll meet them at the jailhouse. My goodness. Y'all think church is only had in the church house. There's better church in jail sometimes. Amen. Because when a man gets to the end of himself, Sometimes the only place to look out is to God. Amen. And guess what? They'll have preaching in there. God will intersect a man's life in the darkest place, darkest prisons. Woo, glory. God will even meet at the funeral home. Amen. People show up at a funeral, won't show up in church. They'll have to sit there and do two things. Recognize that the fact that they're going to go in one of those boxes one day. And also recognize there's a Savior there for them. I've seen people high, drunk, about half crazy at a funeral. At the end of it come and say, you know what? I need that Jesus you're talking about. Amen? God intersects people's lives. Amen? You'll say, well, they'll get out there. My kids will get out there so far God can't reach them. That is a lie. Amen? Matter of fact, praise God, God will reach them in places that you would never be able to go. God's got agents. Amen? God's got those radical people who will show up in places that you would never show up, tap them on the shoulder. I've had this happen four times. I had a man tell me one time in the worst places of my life, tapped me on the shoulder, looked over at me and said, you're not supposed to be here, are you? What? Just having a good time, man. Chill out. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be doing stuff for the Lord. Why are you here? Amen? Why are you here? Because God's cool like that. Amen? God can only work if they walk through these church doors. No, you pray. Listen, you pray. That's what's missing in our church today. Mothers and grandmothers, sisters, amen. You say, why the women? Because women used to pray through. They used to pray. Man, if you had a praying grandmama, you didn't stand a chance. If your mama was praying, you could be out drinking, running, lying, cheating, and still. And guess what? You'd come home and you'd hear them pray. Hey, well, I might as well. Up now! Modern day, we probably need to get some help, man. We'll talk to the police, talk to this. Praise God. Talk to God. Just talk to Him. If He puts you on another line to talk to somebody else, great. But if you talk to Him, He will figure it out. God's always on time. He saves people sometimes just to help save other people. You ever notice that? See, when he first walked up on this funeral, he looked at the mama. And he said, wait a minute. This is her only son. She ain't going to be able to make it. She's a widow, and she ain't going to be able to make it. So I might have to save this one to save her. Amen? Some people, I'm being honest with you, some people get saved, and they help other people get saved. They might save their mama, like in this case. They might save their daddy, like in some cases. They might save their brothers and sisters and family. I've seen whole generations turn just because one man or one woman gets saved. Praise God. I've seen whole generations say, you know what? If daddy can, my God, if you don't have me, listen, because a daddy would turn, because a daddy would give his life, because a daddy would be in before God, then a family will follow. A whole generation will come behind him and say, if my daddy can do it, I can do it. If my mama can do it, I can do it. If my sister can, I can. If my brother can give his heart, I can give my heart. My God. And there's some special, rare special people. They'll save a whole nation of people. They'll save thousands. They'll save hundreds. They'll save millions. One day, Billy Graham was sitting in a congregation listening to a man preach. God said, I can't wait to save him. Amen? I'm going to turn him loose on the whole world. Amen? It's amazing what God can do with some people. Amen? Because He's looking at them. Hey, y'all help me preach. Keith, help me. You hear me? He ain't looking. Terry, He ain't looking at the dead man. And he ain't looking at the dead man. Everybody else was looking at the dead man. This man's a dead man. God said, that's a man. That's a man that's going to save his mama. That's a man that's going to, he's going to have a testimony. Praise God, y'all done buried him. I ain't buried him yet. Praise God, y'all already putting him in the ground. Some of you here are already burying your kids. You're already putting them on the skid row. You're already saying, God ain't done that yet. While they're still breathing, there's hope. That means you got to get hooked up to God and let God hook up with them. Oh, I love this. Amen. He's in there, hey, y'all see it totally different than I see it. They see a funeral procession. God sees a life procession. Amen. He goes, I'm about to meet this. I'll tell you what my next point is. He said, he touched him. Come on, James, every once in a while, just get sideways. It'd be all right. Listen, he touched the dead thing. Hey, he wasn't supposed to touch the dead thing. Go ahead, touch me. I ain't going to hurt you. Sometimes Jesus touches the dead thing. He's the highest priest there is. He's not supposed to touch the dead thing. It makes him unfit. I'll touch him. He touched you. He touched you. I mean, my God, he touched when nobody else could touch you. He touched you. Yes. Yes. Tell him, brother. Tell him. Tell him. Yes. Tell him.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Tell them. Amen.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh,
praise God. Woo. Tell them, brother. Tell them. Woo. Amen. He touched them. Woo. Man, I'm glad this happened, ain't you? Amen. He touches you when nobody else can touch you, when nobody else wants to touch you, when everybody else has forgot about you. He touches the thing that nobody else can touch and nobody wants. Oh, well, praise God. Let's just carry him on down with our thoughts and our prayers. Let's just carry him on down and bury him. God says, wait a minute. I ain't touched him yet. If you'll let me. Man, I wish there's a handful of people in this church right now. You've got issues. You play it cool. You come to this church on a regular basis, and you play it cool. You look like you got it all figured out. But you've got, the devil is raging in some areas of your life. And some of y'all need to come out and just say, God, will you touch that? I can't touch it. It don't even seem like I can touch it, Lord. I don't seem like I'm doing any good. I'm not being effective. I'm not reaching them. God, will you touch them where I can't touch them, Lord God? Will you reach out to them when I can't reach out to them? That's what God does, amen? That's when God works. People are doing business with God. If you got business to do with him, amen? You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus wrecks funerals. All the way through the New Testament, he wrecks funerals. And he wrecks them at different times. Amen? You know what he does? He wrecks them early. Jairus' daughter, she was laying and she just died. They were just about getting ready to make some funeral plans. She had just passed. Jesus showed up. And then Jesus showed up. She had just passed. Well, we're probably going to have to take her down to the family plot. We're probably going to have to do this. We're probably going to do that. No, no, no. Just shut the door. Amen? Listen, God saves some people early. He saves some people young. He saves some people when it's just early in the funeral process. Praise God. He saves them early. Like this man, he saves them on the way. They ain't got him in the ground yet. They're in the process. They're in the middle ground. Listen, some of you sitting here, you're in the middle place. You're in the middle of your life. You're at the middle of this thing. And praise God, you know what God wants to do? He wants to change you. He said, wait a minute, put the thing down. Mama, everybody else said, we're going to the funeral. Mama says, put him down. Jesus said, put him down, put him down. Praise God, I need a living son, not a dead son. I need him. Just put him, shut the door and put him down. And then there was one. Praise God, you got one out there like this? You got one out there like this? Like Lazarus? He'll wreck a funeral that's already been had. 4 days late. Oh, help me with this guy. God, you can't help me with this girl. I love Jesus, man. He walks up. Where have you laid him? Well, he's over at the graveyard. Yeah, where's that at? Well, come on, let's go. They go over and we'll roll the stone away. I love Martha. Hey, Jesus, by now, he surely stinketh. It's all right, Martha. I got away with stinking problems. Amen. Because sometimes when you go too far in death, with a deathful life or a graveyard-type life, your life begins to stink and everybody smells it. But God says, I don't care about that. I'll touch the thing that smells great, and I'll touch the thing that smells awful. Amen. Roll away the tomb. Lazarus come forward. He wrecked every funeral he got to. You know what he wants to do more than that, friend? You know what he wants to do more than that? He wants to wreck your funeral. He wants to wreck your funeral plans. You know what the funeral plans are for most people? Well, I'll just live my life. The devil lies to you. Have a nice home, have a nice family, have a nice job, have a nice income, have some security, and die and bust hell wide open. Y'all don't like this, but I love it. God wants to have a funeral in your life. When you die, every devil in hell rejoices. When you die, they go, thank God. Thank God he's off the battlefield. Thank God. Amen? And in all of heaven, when you walk up there, they say, no more preaching, no more teaching, no more running. You get to rest, praise God. It's game time. Oh, never mind. When I die, I told my wife this many times, find the fieriest preacher you know. Close the box, push it out of the way, and let the man work. Let the man work. Because I've done everything I can do in this life to live for Jesus. My story's done been told. Amen? When you die, God wants to write a story that they couldn't put on a headstone. They couldn't put a dash between two dates. When somebody looks at your grave, they're going to say, my God, our God, they say he's dead. They say she's dead, but she's never been more alive than she ever has been. Praise God. They might, the body's in the ground, but the spirit's in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of y'all are fearing death. Praise God. If you get saved, you'll look kind of forward to it. As they come to get a song, please stand. If God's working on you, I don't even know why you're still sitting where you're sitting.